What is that?
It's a match.
What the sh...
What do you mean? My electricity's run out, so I'm using matches. I'm just lighting one match at a time. Times are hard. We need to do this podcast quite quickly because I've only got like 100 matches. So can we get through them? Should we start again?
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Hello.
Welcome to another Octonerdle podcast thing that we're picking back up for reasons best known.
We haven't done one of these for about 2 years, right? It's been a while.
So for anyone who doesn't remember, or for this is the first podcast they're listening to, this is, what did you described it as, the 14 times of podcast. So
this is the 14 times. Yes, right. It was just very bizarre.
Are we allowed to say that? Like, they're not going to come for us, are they?
And do what? We're not saying we're officially affiliated. This isn't the 14.
It's the 14 times. They might know some witches or something. We'll get cursed.
I'll just look at my window and there's like a group of witches outside.
Just dancing around the fire. Yeah. You're like, oh shit. You're probably going to join them though, weren't you? You're so cold.
Probably.
With your little matches.
Exactly. You know, it's hard to keep warm in here. There we go.
Stop lighting matches.
I need to keep warm. Electricity is expensive at the moment. Gas is expensive. Matches are fairly cheap still. So it's efficient.
Stop it.
How am I supposed to keep warm if I don't light the matches?
How we decided that we're going to do this is that we'll have like a Louis-based episode and then Peter-based episodes. This will be a Louis-based episode, mm-hmm. which is me, by the way. Obviously, over the last 2 years, a lot of things have happened with me. I'm Louis now. All right. So I want to tell you about Michael Malloy.
Mm.
This was way back in the 1920s, mm-hmm. 1930s. Michael Malloy was an Irishman. Those two things are very different. Mm-hmm. He was an Irishman from County Donegal, and he lived in New York City. I'm not entirely sure how he ended up there, but he used to be a firefighter, and I couldn't find out if he was a firefighter in New York City or if he was in Ireland and then moved over or whatever. By this time, in the 1920s/1930s, he was homeless. And he was also an alcoholic. And I don't know if he was homeless because he was an alcoholic or he became an alcoholic afterwards. He was always floating around speakeasies, which is where you'd go for a drink.
This is the Prohibition era, is it? Or is it just before? Wasn't it Prohibition late 1920s?
It was when Al Capone was knocking about, wasn't it?
Yeah. Prohibition lasted from 1920 to 1933.
But weren't speakeasies illegal places where you could get alcohol?
Yeah, they were like little, in basements, weren't they? They were little kind of like drinking holes. Which popped up so people could drink, but they were always hidden away with like someone on the door, you know, for a password or something like that.
He's in kind of the underworld, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Not the deep underworld.
By all accounts, there wasn't anything, he wasn't rough or anything, he wasn't a criminal. He was mm-hmm. just homeless and down on his luck and an alcoholic. He would have been in his early 50s. There is some conflicting sources around his age, but apparently he looked a lot older.
Okay, I mean, people did back then anyway, didn't they? I mean, so he must have looked like 90.
Yeah, alcohol really messes with you, and he was a raging alcoholic. But he wasn't like one of them who downs a few pints and just starts like getting leery, just starts going mental and punchy. He was really one who would just drink until he passed out.
I mean, fair enough.
He had these acquaintances, friends that weren't really friends.
Oh, people you just meet down the pub and they're like, oh, Colin, oh, how nice to see you. And yeah, you never speak to him again. Yeah, I guess it. Yeah.
Well, okay, so he knew this guy called Tony Marino, Joseph Murphy, Francis Pasqua, Hershey Green, who, again, conflicting sources as to whether he was mates with them or not, and Daniel Kreisberg.
This sounds like a gangster group.
So these five lads, they were probably all mates that weren't mates. They would probably have stabbed each other in the back.
Literally.
Yeah, if that would have arisen. Tony Marino, who's going to be the main guy in this story, this guy owned a speakeasy. He was 27, 28, and he was a piece of shit. He was an absolute piece, this guy. Anyway, one night, Tony Marino, Joseph Murphy, Francis Pasqua, and Daniel Kreisberg, and maybe Hershey Green, I don't actually know for sure. I'll come back to him later. But anyway, so these lads, they're just hanging out, and they're like, kind of could do with some cash, actually. We're not doing so well on the whole cash front. Michael Malloy's there. He's getting pissed in the speakeasy, so he's just hammered. And they look over at him, and he looks like shit. He's 50 or something, but he looks like 70. Mm-hmm. He's fucked. He's drinking. He's hammered. And they're like, yeah, he's going to be dead pretty soon, surely. What if we get a life insurance policy on him? Because he hasn't got any family out here. You know, he's a loner. He's got nothing. And maybe, you know, he can die soon and we'll get ourselves a nice little payout.
Okay.
Like I say, these lads, they're not really his mates. So according to IrishCentral.com, we should put the link in the description.
Yeah.
Tony Marino had already, before this point, he'd already murdered someone for life insurance. So this is how they'd got this idea, right?
Okay. This is going to be very suspicious, though. Like, the life insurance companies will see Tony Marino's name on all these certificates and be like...
He was basically targeting people who didn't have anyone.
Yeah.
So his previous victim, right, he basically groomed this homeless woman called Maybelle Carson. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if he tried to get in a relationship or anything, but he definitely made her think that he cared about her, right, and everything. Which is a really shitty thing for him to do, obviously, because homeless people are so vulnerable.
Yeah.
So yeah, she ended up trusting him so much, she actually agreed to have a life insurance policy put on her with him as the beneficiary.
Jesus.
The life insurance people were probably a little bit sus themselves. And then with all of that set up and everything, he's like, okay, do you want to meet up and do you want a drink? Do you want to have a drink? And she's in a bad way anyway. So yeah, she's quite happy to have a drink. He gets her completely smashed, absolutely roundhoused. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think this was in some shelter or somewhere where they were alone. He stripped her naked, chucked her onto a mattress, pours ice water all over her, and then he shoves the bed next to an open window and then fucks off.
Okay.
And this is in winter in New York. And because she's paralytic, obviously she dies.
Yeah.
She dies that night.
I mean, I obviously he doesn't want to make it look like murder because that would invalidate the insurance policy.
It does look pretty sus though, doesn't it? Does it not look a bit sus?
But she's homeless, but she's got a stonking life insurance policy on her name.
Yeah,
that's a little bit weird, isn't it?
It is a bit weird, but so the medical examiner comes along and says that her death was bronchial pneumonia, so not a murder. And as a result, Marino goes ahead and he gets, I think it was like $2,000 or something.
That's big money. What does that equate to? Let me just work that out.
It's, I don't know, say 1925. I should have the date, but I've not written it down.
It's like 1920s, yeah? $2,000. So that's like $30,000.
What?
It's quite a chunk, isn't it?
Wow. Wow. I mean, Peter, I don't suppose you were... Do you want a drink?
If I wake up tonight having nice water by my window, I'd be like, oh God, and like a pen where I've signed this life insurance policy. I'm not going to be okay with that.
You're just going to wake up in the night and just feel your bed just been slowly moved towards
the window. I'm like, why am I damp all of a sudden? Why is the window open? I'm like, oh, I'll just go back to sleep. It's fine. just holding my match still, trying to keep me warm.
I've fucked it now by saying that on the podcast, because obviously everyone would just point the finger straight at me. So, okay.
Well, it's not live, is it? So by the time I've edited it, then, you know...
Well, you'd be dead by then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So the evidence is gone. It'll never get out. So I guess I'll see you tonight, probably. But $30,000.
God's sake. I mean, this, it is horrible. It's horrible that he did that.
It's pretty grim, yeah. So he did this to the Michael character too, right?
No, wait. So don't get ahead.
I'm just excited. I want to know what happened.
Well, okay. No, listen. Right. So that happens.
Plus, I want to stop it from happening to me, so I need as much information as possible.
You're like, I need to know exactly how he did it.
Exactly. I'm like, there's a knock at my door. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. Well, you're like, hello, I've just come to see you, make sure you're okay. It's like, oh, God. You look a bit, you're sitting there with like a two jackets on. You're like, super warm. You're like, oh, you look a bit tired. You should go back to bed. I'm like, no, I'm okay.
You wake up in the middle of the night and I'm there with like an ice machine just pouring it through your
directly
window.
Directly on me.
Just all of this. I'm there with a Mr. Freeze like frantically grinding.
I'm like, what the shit? You're like, just look, shush, it's fine.
Mr.
Frosty.
Mr. Frosty, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze is like those ice lollies, isn't it? Like the ones you got.
I could shove them in as well.
just shove a few in my mouth. I'm like, oh, God.
I'll come over and make dinner for you, Peter. You're like, oh, yeah, great. It's just a bowl of like
bowl of ice,
Mr. Freeze's.
The insurance company come to survey the scene afterwards. They're like, what the shit is going on? It's like Mr. Freeze packets everywhere. There's an ice machine in the corner. They're like, what happens here? You're just still sitting in the corner with like five coats on, just trying. You're like, oh, I don't know what happened. He just seemed to die in the night.
So we already know that Marino managed to murder and get away with it already.
Yeah.
And his mates know that. And they're like, okay, yeah, well, Malloy, looks like shit. He's clearly going to die soon. Wonder if we can set up the same thing. So they go over to him. They're like, hey, Michael, Mickey, what's going on, eh? A lot of backslapping, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want a drink? Yeah, come on, lads. It was really sad, really, because like he was lonely and he needed friends and shit.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So they get him smashed. This is a really weird thing. So some sources say that they get him to sign the life insurance policy because they tell him that it's a petition to get Tony Marino into office. And he just signs it because he's smashed.
Yeah. And this must be a different insurance company. It can't be the same one unless it's like corrupt to the core.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you had to say it, the same insurance company, they might be like, aren't you the guy who...
Yeah, he walks in with like a moustache on, like a fake tash. He's like, oh no, I am Tony Glanino. Each time he comes back with a more expensive suit as he accumulates more and more money. They're like, oh, okay, fair enough.
So Marino gives Malloy an unlimited tab at this speakeasy, right?
That's good of him.
And the idea is he's going to drink himself to death. They sit back and they watch this guy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he drinks, and he drinks, and he drinks, and he drinks for the entire day. And obviously, he's drinking liquor, by the way, not beers, frigging liquor.
Okay.
And he's not dead.
Yeah.
So, and the group of lads are like, what the fuck? Why isn't he dead yet? So Marino's like, well, this is ridiculous. So he switches the liquor for some antifreeze, gives it to Malloy, and Malloy's like, oh, this tastes a bit weird, but oh, fair enough. And he drinks it, and he keeps drinking it, and he's having a very nice time. And the guys are like, what the shit? He's drinking antifreeze.
Malloy's triple hard, isn't he, clearly?
So he's there drinking antifreeze, and he's fine. He's having a nice time, and obviously he's drunk. Marino's like, okay. So he switches the antifreeze for turpentine.
Okay.
Takes it to Malloy. Malloy's like, okay, this tastes a bit weird, but yep, fine. Still having a nice time. The lads are getting desperate at this point, right? So they get horse liniment, which is kind of like old timey. It's like deep heat, but for horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he mixes that with rat poison. By the way, rat poison is a fucking horrible way for any animal to die. It like dissolves their insides and they die in agony. So, you know, screw you if you use rat poison. But he drinks that. And he's still having a nice time.
What the hell is up with this guy? Is he the one pulling the prank here? Is he like tipping them over his shoulder? He's like, oh, I'm so drunk.
Yeah. What would that taste like? It's basically deep heat mixed with some horrendous poison stuff. And he's still drinking it. Like, how drunk would you have to be drinking that and be like, oh, this is just some sort of weird liquor from...
It's like a new cocktail for you. He can see him in the corner of a bar just pouring this bottle with X on it just into this glass. Okay. Is this in the same day, right? It's the same day.
Yeah. Same day. So Malloy's still having a nice time. And this point, they're like, okay, this is ridiculous. So they get the original liquor and they mix it with pure methanol.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's still going. Still drinks it down.
God, this is ridiculous. I mean, talk about good drinker. It's insane.
After seeing this, like, obviously they're really pissed off now. One of the guys who seems like he was like the one of the group who was a little bit daft, because he goes, well, I once saw a guy who ate some oysters and he was drinking whiskey and then he died. So what if we get some raw oysters and put them in alcohol and give them to him and then he'll die? Okay, but that's what they do. They get some raw oysters, soak them in pure methanol.
God, they are desperate at this point, aren't they?
And they go to Malloy and they're like, hey, look, we've got some bar snacks for you. Check it out. Raw oysters freaking swimming in
ethanol.
Where are
they doing this? Have they got like a science lab adjoined to the pub where they're just cooking all this stuff up? They must have trailed to all the like shops around the local area just to come back.
I know, I don't understand. Well, they just randomly got some raw oysters from and then they present it to him like it's a bar snack.
Must be the most gullible man in the world.
I know, I feel so sad for him, bless him. But he eats them and he's having a nice time. Can you imagine if someone was like, oh, here's a bar snack, it's frigging oyster, like, raw oysters just in ethanol.
Just covered in methanol. It's like, doesn't taste as good as the peanuts, but sure. I'll take it. I'm quite hungry.
You should start selling them at Barcadia.
I should do. Just as raw ethanol soaked oysters. People would be like, oh, I'll have some of that, mate. Like, yeah. No problem. Can you just sign this bit of paper first, please? It's like Barcadia's profits just go through the roof in like a couple of days.
Yeah. and it's just not suspicious at all.
No, his body's lying everywhere. I should probably state that I won't do that for legal reasons, and Barcadia is not affiliated with this podcast in any way.
Well, that's a shame, because here's another bar snack for idea for you, because after he eats them, they just go freaking nuclear. These guys will make him a sandwich and will put spoiled sardines in the sandwich.
What the fuck? What? I like how they've moved from drink. They've tried every poison and they're like, let's try snacks instead. Let's try a freaking sandwich, shall we?
Yeah, but so they put the spoiled sardines in it, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, well, let's make sure. So they also put more rat poison in it and carpet tacks. And Carpet tax.
In a sandwich.
Yeah.
But he'll taste that. He'll stop eating it, surely.
Well, he munches through it.
He munches through a sandwich of carpet tax.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with this guy?
He's having a nice time.
How is he having a nice time?
No, he's not. I feel bad that I'm laughing so hard about this. Like, this is a horrible thing that happened.
But by this point, they must have been just like, look, we'll leave this guy alone. He is triple hard.
You would have left him alone by now, right? Like, I would have left him alone well before the oysters, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I would have got the rat poison. I'd have been like, okay, I'm out. This is...
You're tapping out. We'll find someone else.
Yeah. Surely that's easier, just to find someone else, just to sign a bit of paper.
They're still not giving up. So after he eats his sandwich, Marino is finally like, okay, this is ridiculous. We should just try and freeze him to death. They wait until he gets paralytic, passed out drunk. They carry him to a park. They get him naked or part naked, I'm not sure which, chuck him in the snow and pour water all over him, and then they just leave him. And this is in New York wintertime, which is cold. I mean, really, really cold. Which means that they're very fucking surprised when he just rocks up at the speakeasy the next day wanting a drink.
What?
Yeah, he just walks in.
What the... Is he not there to use the toilet at least? Is he just fine? I mean, he must have some gut ache going on.
Well, you'd think so, but so he'd been found by the police in the park and they took him to a homeless charity who gave him clothes. And then he was like, well, I want a drink. So he went to the speakeasy. And the saddest thing is that he went back, like, not knowing that these men had tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Thinking they were his mates.
He went back for another tack sandwich, right?
It's really sad and awful and...
Yeah.
Horrible, but also damn impressive.
I don't even understand at this point how he's still alive.
They weren't quite ready to give up, I'm afraid, Peter.
They went for round two. They were like, okay, we've devised some more snacks over the night, and we've come up with some, like, you know, little tasters. Like,
buffet.
Yeah, buffet. Just roll it in on one of those little trolleys.
Just here, go, here's a cupcake with some razor blades in it.
Yeah, but they've been baking all night. They've made, like,
just furiously.
Yeah. We've got a cheesecake with arsenic. We've got like a stew with some weird powder we found in an alleyway. Just everything they can think of.
They decide that that's not how they're going to be able to kill this guy.
Okay.
They decide, oh, right. So now this is when I said Hershey Green earlier was one of the members. According to some sources online, he was a New York taxi driver and he may have been part of the group initially, or he may have been bribed by the group.
Okay.
But so in any case, he's there. He shows up in his taxi. And the other four, they prop up Malloy after getting him hammered, absolutely smashed. And then they get the taxi driver to smash into him at 45 miles an hour.
Okay.
Which is about 72 kilometres.
Yeah.
And this fucks him up, but he's not dead. So they try again.
Okay.
So Hershey Green goes smashing into him 50 miles an hour. And then he reverses over the guy to try and make sure that he's dead.
Yeah.
Then they get spooked by, in some sources it was another car, in some sources it was a police officer or something, and they just run. So they're like, oh yeah, awesome, rubbing their hands together like, oh great, he'll be announced dead soon. But what they don't know is that Malloy was found and he wasn't dead and he was taken to hospital. 3 weeks after, Malloy just walks in to the speakeasy again asking for another drink.
Well, he's fine. He's got no injuries.
Well, he's covered in bandages and all manner of stuff, but he wants a drink.
He just rolls in again. He's back to that state. But he must have known they pushed him in front of a taxi by this point, right? Or did he think they were just trying to get him home?
Well, no. He was smashed. He was paralytic.
Okay, so he's back. At this point, they must have been like, good God. just fair play to you, mate. We'll leave it. Just...
It's terrible, isn't it? The extent that they went to.
Pretty awful, yeah.
And I just feel so sad for him that he kept coming back and be like, hey, guys.
Did they try again, or was that it?
Yeah, they tried again.
Okay. this poor guy, Jesus Christ.
So they're getting passed out drunk again. And then, oh, this is awful. They drag him to a coal gas burner. And they put a hose from the gas burner and put it into his mouth. He's breathing in the fumes.
Right, okay.
It takes a full hour, but he does die.
He's like superhuman.
I know.
God.
A doctor comes and they did bribe the doctor to say that he died from eunomia. The guy's lying there with a frigging pipe in his mouth coming from a coal gas.
Did they not think to remove that before the doctor arrived? Or
I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, they seem like bumbling pricks. So I'd like to think that they didn't. They probably just left it there and the doctor was like,
Guys? And they're like, what? He died from pneumonia. What's the problem? shoving fibers in his pocket as we're talking to him.
That's pretty much what happened.
Okay.
They go ahead and I think they did manage to collect the insurance, but the thing is that the tales of this Mike Malloy started buzzing around, you know, Mike the Durable, the one who couldn't be killed.
Well, they obviously were speaking about it to other people, right? So
imagine this, right? So imagine you're running Barcadia one night. I come in with some guy. And you probably notice if I was feeding the guy a sandwich with carpet tacks in, right? Like,
I'd probably stop serving you at some point. Probably after I saw you trying to pour some noxious chemical in his drink, I'd be like, okay. No, I'm good. This I'm not going to risk my alcohol license for this. Yeah. You just keep popping out and coming back with all these different snacks, and just yeah. I'm like, we sell snacks here. What are you doing?
I'm like, okay, can you give me some beer nuts that are swimming in alcohol?
Yeah, have you got any oysters? Yeah, this is a public place, so people must have seen that. And they must have seen him shoving him in front of a taxi and then the taxi reversing over him.
The whole thing. I mean, to be honest, there's not that much information about it because it's only from news articles around the time that are very much focused on how incredibly resilient Malloy was.
You say there's not much information, but then you've listed every single method they tried to kill him. So they've obviously documented this pretty well.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. So because it was all of this buzz was going around, they did get arrested. So obviously they went to trial and, you know, it all came out what they'd done. And like you say, people must have seen it. And it seems like, for one, they were bumbling fucks, but also they were getting desperate, weren't they? So they were just taking more and more risks.
I mean, I wouldn't bother because I'd be terrified of this guy's ghost haunting me. Can you imagine his ghost? It'd be so fucking triple hard. Imagine waking up of a night and he's at the end of your bed. I'd be like, fuck me. It wasn't worth it. Take the 30 grand.
You're there trying to beat him with an Ouija board. It's just bouncing back off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he would literally be Satan. I mean, it would... it's not worth it.
The taxi driver, he went to prison as a sort of an accomplice, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the other four, they were electrocuted by electric chair in mid-1934. So they did finally get their comeuppance.
Well, that's good. I mean...
Yeah.
It's surprising the taxi driver didn't also, because that is attempted murder, basically, isn't it? Even if it's by proxy, it's still attempted murder.
Yeah, but attempted murder, it still doesn't get the same punishment, which is insane, isn't it? It's like it was an attempt to murder. If it had been successful, they would be dead.
Exactly.
So
it's like you tried to murder this person, but you're a bit shit, so you failed. You should get more serious punishment for that because you're crap at it.
But then again, like you're saying, oh, they're a bit shit. I don't know if they were a bit... I mean, they were a bit shit. They were doing things that would have killed someone normally.
Yeah, I think they got lucky with the first woman. She seemed a bit susceptible to death because, you know, people have survived the Titanic in freezing cold waters and they're fine. So she was obviously hanging on by a thread.
That's just such a sad thing.
It is. It's awful. But, you know, at least they died. There was an outcome, which was better than them getting away with it.
I do feel really bad for Malloy. Been having such a lonely, miserable life and then having these people he thought were friends and then eating a fucking sandwich with carpet tags in.
Did he have any family, do you think? Did he have any...
No.
Because if he did, like the army would seek them out, wouldn't they? They'd be like, are you like Malloy's great-grandson or something? And they'd be like, you are in the SAS, you've been recruited. And they'd just send them in to all like operations because they'd win every single one. There'd be no chance of failure.
Oh my God. So you're saying the American army would be like, holy shit, we need to find out who's related to this. Literally, indefeatable man.
Yes, they would recruit them and be like, right, you are going into combat. We don't care how much you get. We need to pay you. And like the entire American army would just be his descendants. That's all they'd need. One person sent into each war zone. It would be undefeatable.
Literally just one guy. Like, he's just there like the Terminator, just walking through.
Literally like the Terminator,
explosions,
yes.
Explosions and everything.
Just gunfire bouncing off him. Just not a care in the world. People trying to shove tack sandwiches down his mouth. Just nothing happening.
But that's the story of Michael Malloy.
What's next?
What's next? You're like, oh, good, like,
good Lord. Is this why this podcast stopped last time? Were we talking about stuff like this?
Yeah, probably. You're just like, oh, I'm so exhausted now. Like, I literally can't.
I wake up in the night just like screaming in terror. Just like visions of metal tack sandwiches. God.
Tack sandwiches.
That's the bit I can't get over. Just the tack sandwich. That was... Because surely they want them to eat it so that the rat poison goes down. But if I ate a tack sandwich, I'd be like, oh, I'm okay, thanks. I'm going to give this one a miss. I wouldn't just chow it down.
Yeah, but if you were absolutely smashed.
Even if I was absolutely smashed, I'd have to be dead already to be eating a tack sandwich. Listen, if you rock up tomorrow with a tack sandwich, I'm not... or any sandwich, I'll be like, I'm good, thanks. Okay, should we explain that the podcast fucked itself over?
Yes, go ahead. You go ahead and tell everyone why.
Okay.
We're picking back up again. We're both in a very different mood.
Yeah.
It's 2:20 in the morning. I've had a glass of wine.
Yeah. I have just come out of work at the bar. It's, 2:20 here as well, because we're in the same time zone. but things are going to be a bit different from our previous energy. But basically what happened is we recorded the first podcast. My cat Tilly then just strolled over my keyboard mid-session and did something which meant that my audio stopped recording. So we're back to record the rest of it.
What we ended up talking about was the Odessa Catacombs. I've had a glass of wine, do you mind?
It's tricky, isn't it?
You know what, look, there's some catacombs under Odessa in Ukraine and people get lost in them and they die. Mm-hmm. And it was horrendous and interesting and creepy. If people want us to talk about them again, I guess we will, but I think we'll just cut it out of this episode, because
maybe we can revisit it in the future.
When
we've forgotten about it, then we can be like, oh, that's exciting, that's interesting. So what are we going to talk about instead?
For the first part of the podcast, which we did successfully record, we talked about one Mickey Mallory, but I found out about someone else in around the early 1800s, which is relevant, not because this was connected in any way to the Mallory case, but just because it's interesting in the same manner. All right, well, let me tell you about John Cummings. You are a child. Shut up. It's 2:20. You're not allowed to laugh at this. You're not allowed to laugh at the fact that he was also a seaman.
What? No. He did that on purpose, didn't he? It's like, I've got this name. I'm going to apply here. It's going to be great.
No, he was a seaman. That was his job.
I get that, yeah.
So this guy, this freaking guy, let me tell you about this guy.
Yeah.
He was stationed in France in about 1799, and this is when it all started.
Kicked off.
He would have been 25 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say this guy was an idiot, okay, but... I would be interested to hear from you what you think in terms of his intelligence level. I mean, there's a difference between intelligence level and education level. Obviously, around this time, education was a bit hard to come by. Mm-hmm. But this guy, it was around 1799, and he went to a circus.
Yeah.
And he saw some lad in the circus swallow a knife.
Okay.
And I don't mean, well, I don't think I mean swallowing a sword, which, as you... a lot of listeners will know, sword swallowing just means you just get over your gag reflex, basically, and you shove a sword down your esophagus.
You just get over it, and then you're done. You can swallow a sword.
You can shove it down into your stomach, and that is what's happening.
I think there's a bit more skill than that, right? I mean, because
there's a lot that goes into it, but, you know, you have a special sword and everything.
Yeah. Let's not belittle sword swallowers.
Oh, like, no.
Just get over your gag reflex, and you're fine, mate.
It takes a lot. Yeah. But, I mean, this circus performer was swallowing knives. Obviously, it was a circus performer, therefore... trick, right? So this guy, so Cummings, look, shall I not call him that because you're going to snort laughing every time, aren't you?
Don't call him the seaman. Call him...
I'll call him John, because that's his name. John Cummings. Okay, so John.
Stop saying Cummings. Just call him John.
That's his last name.
Well, just forget it. We can't have that last name here.
Okay, all right. His name's John. All right, so okay. John.
Yes.
So he sees his circus performer, mm-hmm. and he's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool. And then he goes back to his ship with all of his lads on. He's like, wait, look, I can do that. I can swallow a knife. And everyone's like, no, you fucking can't. And he's like, no, I literally can. And he swallows a knife.
Or he just gulps it down.
He just absolutely swallows a knife. Now, bear in mind that obviously a circus performer, someone who's doing that for a job, I don't know exactly how it would have been done. It might have been a special kind of knife. Maybe the performer swallowed the knife and then vomited it back up. That would make more sense,
Or it's like a dissolving knife or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. But John, he kept it down and his mates were like, way! And he, like a full-on knife.
Uh-huh.
Like a knife that the lads were using on the ship.
Well, like
you know,
a sharp ropes. Knife. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, right.
And then they're like, way! And he's like, no, I can do more. And he does another one. And they're like, way! And he swallows three knives. And they're like, way. And then he swallows a fourth knife.
Mm-hmm.
He swallows four knives in one night.
Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot in one night.
That is a lot. According to an article on PubMed Central, which we should link in the description, only three of the four were ever seen again. Now, as we will come to learn, what he would do was... he would pass them. So I looked this up.
Whoa, sorry. That went through his intestines and came out.
Right. So stomach acid is incredibly strong.
Yes.
I couldn't find any details as to, you know, what these knives were specifically made of. I don't think that stomach acid can actually dissolve any manner of metal that these knives would have been made of. I do know that it definitely corroded the metal. But mm-hmm. if they had wooden handles, it's possible, maybe, that he might have been able to at least, the stomach acid would have been able to dissolve them to a point where it would have been able to pass through his intestines.
I mean, stomach acid can't even dissolve sweet corn, so why, how is it dissolving, like, knives and wooden handles?
I'm not sure, but as we'll find out, he passed parts of knives.
Okay. That just seems wild to me.
I guess if it was cushioned with other stuff. I don't want to think about it. That's grim. Okay. Oh, but okay, so he's had these four knives.
Yeah.
So 6 years later, he gets stationed in the USA.
Yeah.
And he has some more shipmates. And they all have a little bit of rum and water, which was called grog at the time. It's like mm-hmm. a mixture.
Yeah.
And he goes, lads, I swallowed four knives. I 100% swallowed four knives. And they're like, no, you didn't. No, you absolutely didn't. And then this guy, he doesn't swallow one knife to prove it. He doesn't swallow two. He doesn't swallow three or four. He doesn't swallow five or six or seven or eight or nine or 10 or 11 or 12 or 13. He swallows 14.
Sorry. So he's trying to tell people he's swallowed four knives and they're like, no way, mate. So he's like, yeah, I can prove it. And then what, he overcounts? He just downs 14. He's like, oh, shit.
To be fair to the laddie, he was drunk. But
that's not being fair. No, can't say to be fair to the lad. No one swallows 14 knives because they're drunk. Jesus Christ.
So he gets admitted to the Charleston Hospital
uh-huh.
with abdominal pain, it says on the article,
yeah.
Obviously. But it says that after a few days, he passed all of the knives.
All 14 knives.
Yeah. Okay. And that happened just in time for him to get back on the ship and get back to France. So he went straight back to work. He crapped out 14 knives.
I mean, I'd have trouble getting hold of 14 knives to start with, let alone swallowing them.
I mean, I can just think that all of his mates were just like, wait, I've got my knife, because they would have had knives to cut rope and whatever manner of thing.
If your mates were like true friends, they'd be like, okay, mate, After one, they'd be like, okay, that's enough. No, they wouldn't stand there for 14 and be like, wait.
Well, this is what we were saying about the Mickey Mallory case, like the fact that his so-called mates were giving him sandwiches filled with carpet tacks. They're not your mates, are they? They're not.
Well, it makes the carpet tacks seem mild in comparison now, doesn't it? God, I was worried about them, but this guy's just downing knives left, right and centre. How big were these knives? Were they like machetes or were they just like knives?
No, I think they were probably like your flick knives.
You can put the blade away, right? So if you put the blade away, I guess that makes a bit more sense.
Mm. But I don't think I think they were full on steak knives.
Which cut like flesh, obviously, because they're steak knives. And they just...
Am I thinking of the right thing? You know the normal size knives that you use in your cutlery drawer, but they're serrated.
They're like serrated knives, whereas steak knives have that little stabby bit at the end, don't they? So that you can poke stuff. So this guy just carries on with the rest of his life. He does this twice in his life, and then he just cracks on.
Yeah.
And did he have any practice beforehand? I mean, no. It feels like before the first four knives, he might have just done one a while ago just to prove it. Because who just goes in with four knives? The circus performer would look at this guy and be like, okay, I quit. You are the real deal.
Yeah, you're a fucking moron, mate. You're trying to digest a knife.
But yeah, he's done it. Like, he might be stupid as fuck, but he's still swallowed 14 knives. And what happened to... Okay, so the first time he ate three, but... Ate four, but only three came out.
Yeah.
So what happened to the... That got... digested, I presume.
I'm guessing it just sort of ended up like embedded in his digestive tract or something.
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, he's thick as shit, isn't he? But yeah,
it's quite
impressive.
I don't know if he is. I'm just wondering if maybe because he got drunk and it was a sort of, way, lads thing, you know? Like, you know when you get certain people who become that kind of person when they're drunk?
Yeah.
So let me tell you about the next time.
Oh, God.
So his next ship, that was the Betty of Philadelphia, and in the voyage from France to the USA, the ship was stopped by the Royal Navy, and then he ended up aboard the HMS Isis. On the 4th of December 1805, with his new shipmates, he got hammered again.
Oh God, he needs to lay off a drink. Seriously.
No, I love the fact that his party trick is swallowing knives. Even though, like, the last time it happened, it caused him considerable pain and distress. He's like, oh, no, I could do it again.
Yeah, if I've done 14, then what else have I got to lose, you know?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So drunk once again, he doesn't swallow one or two or three or four.
It's like
or
a children's book, isn't it?
Or six or seven or eight or nine or 10 or 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He swallows 20 knives.
Okay. Yeah. This guy. This... I mean.
So this guy has got 20 knives in his stomach.
Yeah.
2 days later, after, you know, obviously exhibiting some symptoms of pain, he goes to a physician, one Benjamin Lara, who did actually write up about this because he was fascinated by this case. He was like, look at this idiot. And this guy gave him castor oil and enemas of this sort of watery gruel stuff, which I don't know what water gruel is, and opium for the pain. So this guy's, he's got knives in his stomach and he's off his tits.
Oh, God, he doesn't swallow more, does he?
Well, no, that's actually the final amount. He's also having sulfuric acid to try and dissolve the iron inside him. So these are iron knives.
God.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So he's on the sick list, obviously.
On
which
the
is just,
sick list
yeah, this,
in
this
every single
thing.
Way.
I want to know if he's getting paid, like if he's getting sick leave, because this was like 1800s. I don't know how it was. But I mean, imagine if you were working a 9-to-5 in an office and you say to your boss, look, I need sick leave. I swallowed 20 knives when I was hammered.
I'd be like, I'll tell you what, mate, I'll give you better than sick leave. You can just get the fuck out.
Yeah, well, you would.
Don't come back.
If one of your employees at Barcadia was like, well, I've just swallowed 20 cocktail glasses. I'm not feeling great. It actually says that after remaining on the sick list for 3 months, he felt the knives drop into his bowel and felt much relieved. And then they'd not even passed yet, but he was like, well, I'm ready for work again. So he got discharged back to light duties with these frigging knives still in him.
God.
So in June 1806, he vomited one side of a knife handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been there for months. Okay. Which is a horrifying thought. And then he started passing more pieces of the knives in November all the way through to February.
That's a bad Christmas, isn't it?
I cannot imagine 3 months of crapping out pieces of knife. Can you imagine that?
I just one knife. Just, you know. The pieces of a knife don't make it worse or better. It's just the whole situation is problematic.
The really funny thing is, so he was transferred off HMS Isis in 1806 because he was just passing pieces of knife and knife handles, and he was in so much pain, so he couldn't do anything, right? Mm-hmm. And then he was finally discharged in June 1807.
Yeah.
So what, 10, I can't count, but months and months after.
Sorry, so was this from his last 29th episode? This
yes.
He just went too far, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, like 14 knives, fine. 20, yeah. That's too much, mate.
Yeah, his
don't
body's like,
that.
Mate, what are you doing? We've got a limit of 19 down here and you've just taken the piss.
This is the message of the podcast. 20 knives is too much, guys.
Okay, can we... We should probably put out a warning that just says... Don't eat any knives. You know, 20 isn't an acceptable amount, nor is 4. Just stick with none.
But how are you going to impress your drunk mates?
Probably a card trick.
What, cards that you've ingested and then shat
out?
No, let's
leave ingested out of it. I don't think we need that to impress our mates. In fact, if I started ingesting stuff and I shat it out and I went over to them and I was like, look at this, I just shat this out, I don't think they'd be impressed. Maybe stick. Maybe just have a, just down a shot. That's pretty typical, isn't it?
So he goes to a London hospital.
Oh god.
And the physician didn't believe his story. Reasonably enough, he was like, "What you? Sorry, you've eaten what 35 knives? No, mm-hmm. like 40 knives. You're talking shit, mate." And it just, you know, kicked him out. But he deteriorated, obviously. And he came back and he was like, no, look, seriously. So they did a rectal examination of him and they found an entire knife in his rectum.
Right.
So how that knife got all the way through his large intestine, could you imagine? And then the small intestine, oh my God.
I don't like it. It's just...
I mean, like, you know how long the small intestine is. It goes on for miles.
But they found one knife. But what happened to the rest of them? Like...
So he ended up being discharged. It doesn't say if they removed that knife. I think they probably did. But he was given more acid and opium and everything. And then he finally died in March 1809. And it says, in a state of extreme emaciation. So the poor guy, he couldn't even eat. So they performed an autopsy. And this is the interesting thing. The abdominal cavity was noted to have a, quote, black pharyngeous tinge. From the iron knives. So all the iron had just got into his abdominal cavity. And then a knife blade and a knife back spring were in his intestines.
Oh, God.
And the spring had eroded through into the peritoneum.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure what that is, but it says transfixing the colon near the left kidney, but without
like
causing peritonitis.
I don't like it.
This is directly from the PubMed article. This is me quoting the PubMed article.
Yeah.
And it says, the blade was wedged across the rectum, its end embedded in the pelvic wall. 30 to 40 fragments of wood, metal and horn were found when the stomach was open. So basically, he'd spent all that time with all of those things. And this is really interesting. So we do need to link this article.
People are going to stop listening to our podcast.
Oh, well, they
after
probably
this.
Are. We will link to this article because there's a really interesting illustration of all of the fragments of the knives that were found in his stomach during the autopsy. And it's insane. Pieces of blade, it's knife handles, and the knife handles, like, some of them are corroded, some of them are still very much there. You know, there's one that looks like it's a good 3 or 4 inches long. You know, it's absolute insanity that this guy was wandering around with all of these pieces.
Oh, it makes Mickey Mallory seem like a bit of a weakling, to be honest now. Like, in comparison, I had big respect for Mallory, and now I'm like, mate, I bet he couldn't swallow 20 knives. There's this guy on a ship just doing it for fun. Mallory didn't even know what was going on. Christ.
So if you scroll down, to the bottom, you will see figure two, fragments of knives found in the stomach of John Cummings.
Okay, so these are all the bits of knives from his stomach. Oh, God. That's just so much.
I know. Like, how did you have room for anything else? Like, the amount of knives and blades.
That's like an entire meal. It's like a four-course meal of knives.
Oh, no, exactly. Like, I've thought in the past, like, I have 100%, when I've been mega depressed, I've eaten a KFC family bucket of chicken. Yeah. I've hated myself afterwards.
Yeah.
But there was no way that it was as much as that. And how was he sustaining himself for that many years?
I don't know. He must have been in pain for so long. Like, yeah, because I had a Domino's tonight and I felt bad for having that. But now I feel pretty good. It's like, that Domino's was top tier
food.
Because
you weren't eating knives.
Because I wasn't eating knives, yeah. God, there's like eroded handles. That one's got a carving on it. It says, what, WC? Or something. Oh, God. I don't like it.
Isn't it incredible?
I don't know incredible is the right word. It's fucked up.
How many knives do you reckon you could eat?
I'm gonna say none.
If I will give you a tenner to eat one knife.
£10. Yeah, okay, fine.
The thing that really confuses me is how he swallowed them, because I struggle swallowing pills.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I had an iron tablet tonight and I tried it without water and I was like, oh no, this isn't working. I had to get a glass of water. Even then it was a challenge. And some of these like parts of knives, like that handle is quite substantial. So he would have had natural sword swallowing abilities, I guess. So why didn't he just join the circus, do that and call it a day?
Bear in mind, he was hammered when he did it. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to do it when he was sober.
Yeah, but he still could have got a career in the circus, couldn't he? He's just taking the piss, isn't he? He's just like, he's gone too far. Great, thank you. I mean, that's a good end to the podcast, I think.
I guess.
It's rounded it off quite
just
well.
Just reiterate, don't feed your friends sandwiches with carpet tacks in them. Don't eat knives. We do not advocate the swallowing of anything not classically ingestible.
So in previous podcasts, we used to read out jokes from a site called, what was it?
Kids Write Jokes. I don't know if you can hear it, but my girl rats are having an absolute nest-making party. I hope it doesn't show up on the audio.
Well, I've got a cat on my shoulder right next to the microphone. So there's a Tumblr account called Kids Write Jokes. And basically, kids write jokes and they're great. So shall I read some to you?
Yeah, you do some for me.
Okay, what do dogs call Italy?
I don't know.
It's Dogtily. It's good, right? Two madmen are in Paris, and one asks, what are we going to do? And the other responds, jump into the sea.
That's fair. That is fair. I am there for that.
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, that's...
Oh, this is a good one for us. The man says, what do we do with all this mess? Just give up. Ha, 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 ha.
Yes. Oh, my God. You have no idea.
Absolutely. Why wolves howl?
I don't know.
Because they have no idea what they're doing. Just standing in the woods.
No, that is me. That is literally me.
That is
me.
You. What do you call a Spanish cow with no legs? Grassy. I like how there's a delay because it's quite a technical joke, so it takes a while to get through. Yeah, oh, this is a good one as well. This is pertinent. Where do I live?
Where?
In a bag of trash.
Yeah, me. That is me. That is literally me. That is me.
Oh, this is good. Sorry. This is so
for
good.
For God's sake. Okay.
Two girls get on the bus. Seven men get on the bus, two mums get on the bus, two babies get on the bus, one boy gets on the bus. What?
Wait, what?
Exactly.
What? 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 What a shit. What?
Exactly.
What?
What did the cat say to the laser?
What?
What are you? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor Dentist.
Doctor Dentist who?
How can you be a doctor and a dentist? There is not enough time.
Oh my God, they're completely correct.
Yeah,
have you seen what it's like to be a junior doctor? Oh my God.
You can't be a doctor and a dentist.
No, you can't. You literally cannot do that. That's ridiculous. You literally can't. So obviously the person who's at the door is a scammer. So be aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. These children are just sprouting absolute wisdom. That's the thing. You know, you can learn so much through these jokes. But yeah, I guess that's it. I guess we can bring the podcast to a close.
Great. So, well, thank you very much for listening. I have been Louis or Octi.
I've been Peter or Nostalgia Nerd. Yeah, thank you for listening. It's been a while since we've done this. We hope to do more on a regular basis.
I mean, you say that with a question mark because it's very, very difficult to pin you down.
I am running a bar and trying to run a YouTube channel at the same time.
Well,
quite a lot.
I have severe depression and I'm trying to run these rats. So yeah, I've got quite a few.
It's equally as difficult. So.
Okay.
Okay,
all right,
good.
Okay. Okay, bye. Okay. Have a nice time.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.